prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a really fast-moving show today. We're going to cover a lot of different ground during the first half hour. We have our regularly scheduled Science for Humans episode, Got Inflammation? We're going to be talking about that with Dr. Jeff in just a moment. Then we're going to change it up a little bit. A new study shows how BPA exposure actually increases the risk of prostate cancer. It's a very, very important discussion for the guys out there. And then we're going to change it up. We'll talk about exercise. EPOC, this is excessive post-exercise oxygen consumption is indicative of a lot of different things and important to understand. We're going to look at three different modalities of exercise and how they affect EPOC with Dr. Bo Greer. But first, we must do our duty playing the music.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Hey, Dr. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Carl. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, so who doesn't have inflammation today, you think, Dr. Jeff?
Oh, man. I would say nobody, Carl. It is a fast growing thing, you know, because there's so many different causes of it.
That's the real problem. So somebody posted something on Facebook this morning, and they said this thing is the root of all disease. And it was something silly, actually. But they were selling a product, right? And I was thinking, you know, is there one thing that really could be linked back to all modern disease today? And while inflammation is, in fact, sometimes the first domino, it definitely is many times a second and third domino. I would say that inflammation is, in fact, implicated in the etiology of probably 80% of chronic disease today.
Well, in some of the, you know, the more common ones that are linked to inflammation, arthritis, allergies, Alzheimer's, asthma, heart disease, lupus, common ground, inflammation.
You know, and that many of those are autoimmune disorders.
Yes.
And, excuse me, autoimmune disorders seem to have a real inflammatory component. Look at rheumatoid arthritis. Look at multiple sclerosis. The lesions that form on the brain are actually driven by inflammation. So, yeah, you're right. If somebody has an autoimmune disorder or if they are prone to autoimmune disorders, they must pay attention to inflammatory markers and the things that cause inflammation.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's basically two types of inflammation, you know, good inflammation and bad. So I just wanted to kind of talk about, you know, what happens when you get a cut, you know, because I think a lot of times we take that for granted. But it's a pretty integral process, you know. I mean, basically, you get a cut and infection. You know, this is where the bacteria is entering into the system, and our immune system, you know, kicks in immediately. You know, different types of specialized cells start to go there, like histidine and cytokines, which alert your body of damage. The histidine's main job is to increase that blood flow to that area, which that's what causes the redness and the swelling. And then you've got the macrophages that come in. These are kind of the eating cells, which secrete immune messengers. So, you know, this is all a normal process to help our bodies, you know, heal when we have an injury, a sunburn, a cut. The second type is, you know, what kind of causes all of these other items is the chronic inflammation, you know, where your body thinks that you've got some infection happening and this whole process continues, which that's where all the damages occur.
And one of the interesting additions to the discussion on inflammation that's evolved or arisen in the past couple years is this term resolvins. There are certain things that help to resolve. So the notion of suppressing inflammation is a good one. But you don't want to suppress inflammation completely because, as you point out, there is good and bad inflammation. You don't want to suppress good inflammation so that things heal. But as you suppress inflammation to some degree as a therapeutic approach, you also have to increase resolvins so that the inflammation that is started resolves itself. And this is another component of the inflammation cycle that most don't talk about. Most just talk about inflammation like it's a fire and it has to be put out. And it's more like you're cooking. The fire you need is about 6 inches around to cook with, but you've got the whole stovetop on fire. You still want to cook. So you don't want to put out the whole fire. You just want to put out the fire that's not being used for the cooking process.
That's a good analogy because, you know, that's what happens in the pharmaceutical industry. There are actually drugs. They may be on the market now, but I know they've been in a development to actually inhibit that whole inflammatory response. I mean, how dangerous is that?
So dangerous. But the sad part is your doctor will recommend it and people will take it and the FDA will allow it.
I was just thinking about the little clip you sent me.
Well, I posted something on Facebook this morning. It's worth just injecting at this moment. I posted a picture from a 1930s newspaper ad that said more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarettes. It's got a picture of a doctor with a white lab coat on. He's got a cigarette in his hand. And it goes on to explain that, you know, Camels are good for you. And back then, doctors actually recommended that their patients smoke. They said it was good for the nerves. If you had anxiety, they told you to smoke. And the reason this is important is because today, right now, we're being told things by doctors that are supported by the FDA, that are being promoted in the mainstream media, and we're being told that they're safe. I don't care what it is. I'm not looking to pick something. But there's something that someone in this audience is paying attention to, that instinctively they're saying, I don't think that's good, but they're saying, well, scientists say it's good, doctor says it's good, FDA approved, doctor recommended. Just remember that doctors recommended that you smoke cigarettes back in the 30s. And then weigh what a doctor's recommendation really means to you.
You know, and it's interesting because I've got a nephew who's becoming an MD, and he's been an advocate, fan of supplements his whole life as an athlete. And it's interesting to hear what, you know, they are teaching, you know, these new doctors about new technologies. I mean, they are so single-sided, basically saying whatever the drug companies tell us, that's what we tell everybody else. And my nephew said, well, hey, you know, what about supplements? Oh, no, you know, we don't even talk about them, so let's not even go there.
Yeah, and the reason that they don't talk about them is because they're not, quote-unquote, FDA approved. That's the reason. Just remember, the FDA approved thalidomide. The FDA approved Vioxx. The FDA approves things that kill people every single day. But people don't pay attention to it for some reason. People are so myopic. They only hear some parts of the message. They ignore the other parts. And quite frankly, doctors are part of the problem. Because I went to a doctor once, Dr. Jeff, because I had brachial tendonitis from doing heavy rowing. So he wrote me a prescription for Vioxx. God's honest truth. This is probably 8 years ago, nine, maybe longer, maybe 10 years ago. I didn't get the prescription filled because I thought, you know what, I'll find another way around. This was before all the people started dying from Vioxx. I had tendonitis. He wrote me a prescription for Vioxx.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like anything. You know, you go in today with any type of ailment, the first thing they do is, you know, give you some antidepressant, you know, to calm you down so that you then can figure out what the ailments are. I mean, it's crazy, you know.
But so getting back to the big pharma thing that they will prescribe, they're looking to prescribe drugs that completely suppress inflammation. This is obviously a very, very bad idea. Are there better ways to leverage inflammation to get rid of the chronic while helping the good inflammation?
Absolutely, you know, and I wanted to talk about first a little bit about, you know, the causes of inflammation, because I think a lot of people sometimes think that it just comes from, you know, a cut or a burn. But there's a lot of outward things, and this is kind of, you know, getting to your question, but things like stress, you know, parasites, viruses, environmental poisons. You know, the show right before was talking about all these pesticides, sugar. smoking, you know, high blood insulin. These are all things that cause inflammation.
Wow.
So obviously, you know, there are ways to address this and to attack these type of environmental things that will eliminate inflammation. Also, you know, the arachidonic acid that are in some food sources, you know, could be inflammation promoters. You know, they're in eggs, beef, dairy products, organ meats, so some people that are subjected to that. But there's another thing. Have you heard of AGs, the advanced glycation end products?
Oh, yeah, we've done shows on AGEs. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of ways to get AGEs. Let's talk about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there. You know, when you cook or fry things at high temperature, you know, you excite that inflammatory process. The proteins get bound to the glucose molecules, and they're difficult for the body to break down. Your body actually looks at this as if it's some type of infection, and this whole anti-inflammatory process starts up. And wherever it's at is where it's going to attack. I mean, that's pretty heavy.
Now, the advanced glycation end product discussion is a very, very important one. And here's one of the reasons. You cannot get rid of them once they're in your body. Liver spots, as we age, are accumulations of AGEs on the skin, on the surface of the body. There's evidence that AGEs promote the graying of hair. AGEs can be consumed, as Dr. Jeff points out, overcooking meat. People don't realize, they think that because the label on that steak says zero carbohydrates, you don't realize that there's glycogen in that muscle, and glycogen is a form of sugar. And when you brown meat, it's the glycogen that's caramelizing and making it brown. So,
and you know, that's called the Maillard reaction. When you have a sugar that reacts with an amino acid, that's why the meat turns brown while it cooks. If it wasn't for the reaction, the meat would still be red when it's cooked.
Interesting. But the other way you get AGEs is internally. If you are someone who's pre-diabetic, if you regularly have elevating blood sugar levels, elevated blood sugar running through your body is being oxidized, and the spin-off are AGEs, and these accumulate in organ tissue, in brain tissue, in tissue in general. Not a good thing. Now, there's some people out there who think you can reverse the accumulation of AGEs, but the majority of scientists today believe it's virtually impossible, because it's kind of like living in a house where someone smoked for 40 years. You can wash the walls, but it permeates the fiber of everything in the house. The only way to get rid of the smoke is to tear the house down. That's not a practical solution for the human body. AGEs permeate all tissue, and it's virtually impossible to get rid of them. That's why you must do things to avoid them.
You know, and they say that you know, where those AGEs occur, you know, that's where the ailment. So, you know, such things as cataract, you know, arthritis, mm-hmm. memory loss, heart disease, wrinkled skin, which those are all irreversible. You know, obviously you can have some cataract surgery and things, but, you know, your body can't reverse that damage once it's done.
Yeah, and that's why it's better to get this stuff in check from the get-go by diet, exercise, lifestyle, but also there are things you can take from a supplemental standpoint. And I think what we should do right now, Dr. Jeff, is take a break.
Yes.
And when we come back, let's start talking about supplements that are better choices for dealing with inflammation. We're talking right now with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini. This is Science for Humans. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Science for Humans. Do you pay attention to the commercials or do you try to tune them out? Did you notice that we ran two spots, the same spot during the last break? We're going to reward you if you pay attention to the commercials. We're starting something new, and it's going to go on every week from now on. It's called the Secret Word Contest. During a commercial break in every live show, there will be a secret word given. You'll hear it. It'll happen between two spots. You email that secret word in to onair@superhumanradio.com, and you are automatically entered. Every single week, we'll be giving things away. This week, since it's starting today, Wednesday, from this Wednesday through next Tuesday, it's $200 worth of Quest products. You can choose protein bars, Quest chips, or protein powder. Every single week, we'll be giving something away. We're going to reward you for listening to the commercials. So listen for today's secret word and email it into onair@superhumanradio.com, and you are entered, and you can enter every single week until you win something. Doesn't get much better than that, does it, Dr. Jeff?
That's pretty good. I might have to enter, too.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I'm sure that within the next week or so, we'll be also using some AAP, All-American EFX products as rewards as well. So listen to the commercials, everybody. Don't tune them out. So what about natural products? I mean, what things help to coax inflammation to resolve and not necessarily completely suppress it so that it can do its job?
You know, there are a lot of things out there. And as you know, from the natural side of things, we try to prevent, you know, where usually on the drug side, they're trying to mask, as I always say. But natural products, there's no side effects. So some of the conventional things that, you know, have been used over the years, before I talk about the granddaddy of all things, fish oil has been very effective for a lot of people, you know, as an anti-inflammatory, and is probably one of the most common things used. There are a lot of herbs that people have had great success with. Boswellia probably being having the most success. Turmeric, white willow bark, which contains naturally occurring aspirin. Things like aloe vera. Resveratrol is kind of one of the new ones that has come onto the market. And then there's quite a few vitamins. You know, your C, E, D, K, all your B vitamins that we've been talking about, vitamin A. So these are all things that that have been reported to give people some good results. The problem is there's no real sound research that has actually proven, you know, which combination or which ones.
This is a shameless plug, and I know that we probably weren't going to go in this direction, but I have to bring it up. When I was in Montana last time, there was a study abstract on your wall, actually two of them, looking at a product that you make, and you guys did some research with children who had rheumatoid arthritis. Is that what it was?
Absolutely, and I was actually going to bring that up because that is the granddaddy of all. You know, there's a lot of natural things, but, you know, as we learn more about how to duplicate what the drug companies have done but do it from a natural side, it's pretty interesting what can accomplish. And you're talking about a product called Cresellazine. EFX markets it under joint rehab, but the active ingredient is Cresellazine. Journal of Medicinal Foods, June of 2013, published my research entitled Cresellazine as a Viable Treatment for Juvenile Rheumatoid Arthritis, Juvenile Idiopathic Arthritis. It's at FDA. We've been granted an orphan drug. And what that means is that, you know, the pharmaceutical companies don't go after low population areas. Juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, it's the same as adult rheumatoid arthritis. It just happens at an earlier age in kids. That's what I targeted. It has to be a population of 250,000 or less, and the pharma hasn't developed anything for that. So this is a very interesting product because it worked. Kids were healed. Kids who couldn't even walk were out playing basketball. You know, some of the kids were able to get off their medications completely. It's a pretty interesting product.
But now, since we know that works in that pathway, the resolving inflammation pathway in this particular group of people, can we safely extrapolate and say, well, if you're concerned about chronic inflammation in general, this will work for you?
Absolutely. If you look at the studies, we also published a very nice clinical trial on humans that we outperformed acetaminophen, ibuprofen, very joint specific, you know, on the smaller joints, you know, knees, elbows. If you go to allamericanpharmaceutical.com, up at the top under branded ingredients, pull down, go to Cresellazine, and you can, you know, read about all of the studies that we've done. There's good information.
How quickly does it start working, Dr. Jeff? I mean, if somebody has, and this is for me personally, so mm-hmm. I've got something going on with my left ankle. I think I developed some tendonitis in the Achilles where it attaches to the soleus, and my ankle is swollen because it's inflamed. I want to resolve the inflammation and heal. I don't want to suppress it. Am I a good candidate to use Cresellazine?
You are, you know, I mean, for most people, depending on, you know, how severe the inflammation is, some people within a matter of a day or two, I know myself personally, whenever I start to get that old knee pain, within 2 days, it's gone. For people who had severe arthritis in our trials, it took a good 30 days, you know, for you to get relief. But it takes a minimum of 60 days, even from the prescription drugs, you know, to get any type of relief. Now, there's also a topical cream that's very interesting that you can put on immediately, and within a few seconds, you know, you will get some immediate relief. A little transdermal action, kind of cool technology on that one.
And it has the same ingredients that are in the capsules in the cream?
It does, absolutely.
Wow.
So you got to remember, you know, the hypothesis on a natural supplement, we cannot use the word mechanism of action. That is specifically related to drugs. Once you have a mechanism of action, you now can sell it as a drug once you go through the process. So being that, you know, we're at FDA now for a new drug number, you know, we are in that kind of that mechanism of action. So we've kind of got a hypothesis since it hasn't been proven clinically. But chrysalazine is involved in basically down-regulating that pro-inflammatory factors and all of the cascading events that follow. So it does the same thing as these drugs by getting in to the old COX-2, you know, so to say.
Yeah. I chuckled when you said that the drug companies can talk about mechanisms of action because quite often they're not sure about how things work, which I think is comical.
Yeah. I was at a conference not too long ago with a bunch of drug university guys that had done a lot of bench research, and everybody, I was the only one that had my chrysalazine research I was presenting. I've got a product on the market. They aren't even anywhere near clinical trials. Some of them will never get to market, and they were all walking around to me going, so what's your mechanism of action? What's your mechanism of action? I found the best response was, what's yours?
Yeah. Because they don't have one. They don't know what to say, right?
They're like, well, you know, we just tried it on one rat. And I'm like, oh, you've tried it on a rat. Well, guess what? I've already got published human trials.
Oh, man. You know? That's got to feel good, huh?
It was pretty good, you know. But anyhow, that's kind of how that world works. Hey, I did want to mention one thing.
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of emails from folks that over the past several weeks, we've given away a lot of samples and things, and you've indicated that you haven't received them. It takes about 14 days. Due to the overwhelming response here, it's about a 7-day for us to get those packed up for you and out. And they go out U.S. mail, so you know how the old mail service is. But if you haven't received it in 14 days after you request it, then just send a little email. And we'll just send you out another one. Either it got lost in the mail or the mailman dropped it on your porch and your neighbor took it. But we want to make sure that everybody does get those requests in.
And that wraps it up. Don't forget, you can still get samples of the only patented buffered creatine monohydrate product in the world by going to superhumanradio.com. Bottom right-hand side of the homepage, you'll see Dr. Jeff's handsome face. Click that. I've had people say, well, where do you ask for the sample? This is to send a question. Well, the question should be, hey, Doc, you got any of that creatine left?
And here's my address.
Because another reason some of you are not getting your samples is because you forgot to put your address in the request.
And so, I think you guys have been finding that we're sending you a nice little care package. So even though you asked for the Crealkaline, you're getting a few little extra gifts. So hopefully you're enjoying those.
Dr. Jeff, thanks for being on today, brother.
Thank you, man. Take care.
See you next week. All right, let's do this. Let's take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about just how – we're talking about mechanisms of action with Dr. Jeff. We're going to talk about the mechanism of action or how BPA increases the risk of prostate cancer for men. Don't forget, when they first started putting BPA in plastic, the FDA said it was safe. Never forget, and – never be fooled. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. Bisphenol A has been the subject of a lot of discussions in the past couple years about its safety. We find it in a lot of plastic products still till today. My next guest is Dr. Gail Prinz. How are you doing, Dr. Prinz?
I'm doing well.
And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what were you trying to answer? What questions were you trying to answer in this particular research paper?
We have been studying bisphenol A for a number of years right now. We've been studying it because it's an endocrine disrupting chemical. We refer to that as an EDC, and it interferes with the way hormones act in the body. And it's very widely produced. It's one of the highest volume chemicals produced in the world. And we were interested in addressing whether its actions, it mimics estrogen activities, the typical female hormone, although it has a lot of activity in the male. And we were asking the question whether it could increase the risk of prostate cancer in men. Because in men, the prostate gland responds to estrogens. And we wondered whether bisphenol A could interfere with that and influence prostate cancer activity or risk.
A quick question that for my own edification. We always talk about receptor sites and affinity to receptors. So as compared to biological estrogen, does bisphenol A have a higher affinity to the receptors? Does it stay
that's
in place longer?
That's a great question, yes. And that's been debated and analyzed. In the beginning, BPA, as we refer to it, bisphenol A, appeared to have a very low affinity for the estrogen receptor. It appeared to be about a thousandfold lower, a thousand times lower than what natural estradiol has. But that was when we were looking at the nuclear receptor. What has now become clear in the past 10 to 15 years is that estrogen receptors exist around the membrane of cells as well. And it turns out we were able to directly show that BPA can activate this membrane activity to the exact same level as natural estradiol. So it has the same affinity and activational capacity as natural estradiol. And we think that's how it might be mediating a lot of its effects.
Yeah, because that's always been the argument. Well, it doesn't have, it has a very low affinity. It's not, and they say that same thing about some phytoestrogens too. Well, it doesn't have the strength that real estradiol has, so it's not
really. That's correct. When we look at just the nuclear activity, that's absolutely correct. But when we look at the membrane activity, which starts the whole thing, very rapid action, we call that rapid membrane-initiated activity, molecule for molecule, BPA is just as active as estradiol. And the same thing probably for a lot of these phytoestrogens as well.
Well, just to throw this out there, and we'll get right back on task here, but I learned a long time ago that there's a receptor that responds to estradiol on the cell that's responsible for suppressing inflammation called FAF, fibroblast activation factor. And I've often wondered if all of the xeno and phytoestrogens in our environment act on that receptor to a point where it stops working, and then when we want estrogen to actually suppress inflammation, we don't, and that contributes to this pro-inflammatory world that we live in today.
Wow. Well, I haven't addressed that, and I'm not aware of any experiments out there in the literature that have looked at that for BPA, so I can't comment directly upon that. Certainly, estrogens activate inflammation and are involved at a lot of levels in our immune system. And it's evidence is coming up that BPA does interfere or have activities within the immune system as well. Whether it's working through FAS, I cannot state.
Okay.
So I'm not aware of data that has directly looked at BPA activating FAS. But certainly BPA can be interfering with the immune system at different levels. That data has been published.
So talk about an organoid. What is an organoid, and what role did it play in your research?
Oh, excellent. So since the isolation and development of embryonic stem cells, both from mice as well as from human, we have these embryonic stem cells. That's out there in the press a lot, talking about embryonic stem cells. And what some investigators had started doing as they discovered more and more things that regulate normal development, they were able to identify specific conditions that permit the differentiation or the growth of an embryonic stem cell into a mini organoid from a number of different structures. One was the gut. They were able to make mini gut organoids. Another one have been pancreatic cells. They've been able to reproduce at a little mini level the organoids of a number of different structures. And this allows the biologist to better manipulate and understand what are the normal steps involved in normal development. But when you identify normal, you can understand abnormal much better. Mm-hmm. And so by identifying normal, we can also understand abnormal, and we can evaluate whether certain drugs or certain chemicals influence normal development and make it abnormal. So with that as a background, what we did is we studied the literature based on stuff we'd done in my lab and what other people have published. We started playing with different factors that might be able to grow a little mini prostate organoid from a human embryonic stem cell.
Wow.
And we were able to do that. We were able to slowly, over the period of a month, coax a single embryonic stem cell to start developing into a little microscopic organoid. When you look at it, it looks like a human prostate gland, and it secretes prostate-specific antigen, PSA, and so it behaves like a little mini prostate. And so we're able to now use that to look at a number of different conditions that are necessary for normal as well as abnormal prostate
development. Wow, that is so cool. And so
it is very exciting.
I want to take our break 30 seconds early, because when I come back, I want you to tell us what happened when you exposed this prostate organoid to bisphenol A. This is a very, very important discussion, not just for men, but for women as well, because I'm going to go out on a limb, since I don't have any letters after my name, and say if it's doing this to the prostate, it's doing it to other organ tissue as well. So we need to pay attention to what Dr. Gail Prinz is going to be telling us when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
The secret word is epigenetic. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of
high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Once an hour during a commercial break, we will play a secret word. You take that secret word, you email it to us at onair@superhumanradio.com, and you're entered to win. This week's prize is $200 worth of Quest products. You can choose from Quest protein bars, chips, or protein powders. Once an hour, the secret word will play during a commercial break. You better stop paying attention to the commercials. Stop talking to each other. Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Gail Prinz. So, Dr. Prinz, when you introduced this lovely little organoid that acts and looks and squeaks like a prostate to bisphenol A, what happened?
What we found was that it developed rather normally. There were a few problems as it branched. But when it grew up to its normal size counterpart, it looked like a prostate gland on most of the things that we used to evaluate whether it was prostatic. It differentiated. It had PSA. It had androgen receptors. It branched. But when we started staining it and testing it for stem cells, we found that there were a number of extra stem cells within the prostate gland. So rather than this occasional or very rare stem cell, which is always in most of our organs, to rebuild the tissue if it ever gets damaged, we found little pockets or nests of stem cells scattered throughout the organoids. So there was a real increase in stem cell number.
And they were, it was kind of like a mass aggregation of stem cells. Instead of them being spread out nicely through the landscape, you had these masses, these pockets, these clusters.
I wouldn't call them masses. I called them nests.
Okay.
Or foci.
Okay.
But yeah, you could call them a mass, I guess. They were little aggregates of stem cells. It doesn't normally look that way.
So how does this make the prostate more prone to developing cancer?
Well, that's an excellent question as well. In our previous work, we had looking at prostate effects of BPA. First, we used rats, did a lot of studies on rats, and we found that if they were exposed to BPA early in life, they were predisposed to higher rates of cancer in response to estrogen later in life. And that's important because in aging men, their estrogen levels go up. And it's known that estrogen can drive prostate cancer in aging men. And so we started working with a human model. First, we used adult stem cells from adult prostate glands. And when we made human chimeric structures, we transplanted these adult stem cells into mice, and we found that if they were exposed to BPA, they also had an increased rate or an increased risk of prostate cancer in response to estrogen. A common feature of both the rat studies and the prior adult human prostate studies was that there were more stem cells. And it's believed that, it's starting to be believed that the presence of increased number of stem cells may in fact increase the risk over a lifetime of developing cancer, because there are more targets that can carry any aberrations for a much longer period of time. And in fact, we found this out by looking at epigenetics. And we found that the stem cells are epigenetically reprogrammed.
Right.
So that's what we believe is taking place in these prostate organoids, where we found the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, the environmental factors obviously can cause stem cells to do things that they were not supposed to do.
Correct.
When they differentiate appropriately, they're great for repairing tissue in a system. But they have the ability to turn into cancer cells. They have the ability to undergo anaerobic respiratory changes to the mitochondria and hence start to become cells that grow wild.
They can be targets of a number of different mutations, a number of different conditions. We use the word, ironically, plastic. Stem cells have great plasticity.
Yes.
Exactly what you said. I don't need to restate that. But they're also prone to develop mutations in a lot of proteins, a lot of genes, resulting in abnormal proteins. But their epigenome, their epigenetics, their long-term memory can be reprogrammed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, if you expose a stem cell, potentially to some of these chemicals, they'll remember it by a reprogramming of their epigenome. And when they see another exposure later in life, they can be much more sensitive to that later life exposure than they normally would have been. They remember what they saw earlier in life, and we believe that that might be the underlying molecular reason for why there's increased susceptibility to cancer if you have these early life exposures to BPA.
Do you think that the ability for an estrogenic compound like BPA to have this effect on a forming prostate, that there may also be some hints to what happens to breast tissue in women, and even after the cancer has been identified and perhaps even evacuated and women are put on things like tamoxifen therapy to block estrogen, they're still getting exposure to these xenoestrogens. Could these also be promoting cancer and breast cancer as well?
I would say absolutely. So what I know about what's been published already, I would say that's absolutely a possibility, and is most likely taking place. And so there have been parallel studies, not to mine with the stem cells, but there have been parallel studies looking at mammary tissue, and mammary tissue very much is more sensitive to developing cancer if there have been early life exposures to BPA. So that's also been published. And in fact, there's data that is emerging that is showing that stem cells of other organs are likewise sensitive to BPA.
Wow.
So what was recently found was that some of the gonadal stem cells, the stem cells that make the sperm and the eggs, can be more sensitive to BPA, and you can see aberrations in those cells as well. So I would definitely agree that what we're seeing in the prostate stem cells is not unique, and this is most likely happening to stem cells in other organs as well and making them more susceptible to disease.
And the reason... I'm sorry.
Whether it actually drives the disease, that's what some people say, that, well, when they give BPA, they don't see these diseases. But it may not be actually the cause of the disease, but it's setting the organ up so that other things that they're normally exposed to in life, they're much more sensitive to.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So that's what's happening. It's a complicated life we lead. We're exposed to a lot of things from our normal bodies as well as from the outside. And if you can make somebody more susceptible to these other life exposures, then you're increasing risk.
Right, right.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you hope that both clinicians and lay people take away from this research?
Well, I think that what needs to be understood is a few things. One is that we really need to start eliminating and reducing our exposure to bisphenol A. And some of the substitutes for bisphenol A. Unfortunately, a very sad thing that has taken place is they've gotten BPA out of a number of products and they've replaced it with BPS, as in Sam. And BPS is in early studies that have come out so far in the lab doing the exact same thing as BPA. And so when you see a lot of products sold as BPA-free, they're most likely containing BPS. It can't be, you know, that's not absolute because different manufacturers use different agents. But if you dig deeper, you'll find a lot of these substitute chemicals are bad as well. And so then that leads me to the next thing, is that we need to have more regulatory reform in this country. There is a legislature in front of the United States Senate and House called TSCA, which is TSCA reform, as in the opera, TSCA. And it's about redoing chemical safety testing so that it's done before chemicals are put on market, rather than the current protocol where chemicals are put out there with insufficient testing done, and then if somebody starts noticing some negative side effects, then they've got to go, the scientists like me and others have to go and prove that it's negative, meet a very high bar to show problems associated with it for it to be removed from the market. In the meanwhile, we're all exposed to it. And so there needs to be regulatory reform where we test these products before they're put out to the unsuspecting public.
I love it. And this is a long time coming. There's so many. There's anti-androgens out there like phthalates. There's estrogenic compounds.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many compounds in our environment today. We live in a soup of endocrine disrupting, endocrine modulating hormone like chemicals. And you know, if it's doing this, this is a prelude to an article I'm working on that I'm going to publish. If it's doing this to organ tissue, it's doing it to the brain too. Think of a baby in the womb at the time when sexual differentiation is occurring. The baby is programmed to be a boy, but he's flooded with all of these estrogen-like hormones. What happens to the wiring of the brain? What happens to sexual preference? We're talking about cancer and things that we can measure. But when you have a person who ends up with some sort of dual sexual identity that they didn't choose to be, and they can't figure out, this is what's happening in the womb. The mother is delivering hormones and flooded with other hormone-like substances that are causing the brain to form differently.
Well, there is evidence, in fact, that bisphenol A, as well as other chemicals, can influence normal brain development. BPA has not been tied at this point to changes in sexual identity. It has been linked to anxiety disorder in rodents, to ADHD and ADD type activity in rodents. So there's definitely evidence that BPA is affecting the developing brain. So this is during development. It's affecting the developing brain and reprogramming those cells in an adverse manner so that they're more prone to develop these hyperactivity conditions as well. But it's possible that we can also be interfering with the normal process of sexual dimorphism in the brain.
Yes, yes.
That's a possibility and something that we need to keep in mind.
Yes. Listen, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show. It's very, very interesting, and I love the work that you're doing because more people need to understand this, and I hope that there comes a day where real testing is done before they expose populations to this stuff.
That's what we need most foremost.
Thank you, Dr. Prinz.
You're welcome very much.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about three different exercise modalities and how they affect EPOC, which is excessive post-exercise oxygen consumption. And why is this important to you? You're going to find out. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And MetabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active. I need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is, hold on a second, what am I doing here? I'm sorry, I knew I forgot something. Okay, so we have the secret word contest going on right now. During a commercial break during the first hour of the show and a commercial break during the second hour of the show, a secret word will be played during the commercial break. You must pay attention to the commercials to hear it. What you do is you get that word and you email it to onair at superhumanradio.com, and you will be entered to win one. Every week we'll have a different prize. This week, from now till Tuesday of next week, it's going to be $200 worth of free Quest nutrition products. You can choose from protein bars, protein chips, and protein powder, and every week we'll change it. So keep listening to the commercials, pay attention, don't tune them out, and listen for the secret word and email it to us at onair at superhumanradio.com to be entered. My next guest is Dr. Bo Greer. How are you doing, Dr. Greer?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. You recently published a study, epoch comparison between isocaloric bouts of steady state aerobic, intermittent aerobic, and resistance training. And epoch, I guess, stands for excessive post-exercise oxygen consumption?
You got it.
Okay. So what were you trying to answer in this particular research, and why is epoch even important to us?
Well, this study kind of took a unique angle. For about 10 or 15 years, there's been a lot of studies trying to figure out what mode of exercise is going to burn more calories after exercise. During exercise is certainly important, but we know since we continue burning more calories than we do at, say, resting levels after exercise, you know, what burns more, resistance training, aerobic training? And the Achilles heel of this research has really been that how do you equate the two? How do you equate a resistance training bout with an aerobic bout? It's completely different. So the earlier studies used heart rate, but as you probably know, it's much easier to keep a heart rate of 120, let's say, during an aerobic session than resistance training.
Right.
So that's always been the challenge. So we just took another, it's not necessarily better, but we just took another perspective on how to equate a resistance training workout and aerobic workout. And because a lot of the attention lately, at least in lay magazines, in terms of lay interest, has been in high-intensity interval training. So aerobic exercise, but with, you know, really hard, high-intensity, short periods, followed by a little bit of active rest and back and forth, back and forth, we decided to add that into the mix, too. And so what we did is, as opposed to trying to equate this by heart rate or rates of perceived exertion, we just did it by calories. So we determined in a given kind of circuit training setting how many calories someone would burn doing this resistance training workout, and then we had them exercise aerobically at a later point and burn the same amount of calories, and then at a later point exercise with high-intensity interval training, ultimately burning the same amount of calories, and then compare what they burned after exercise. So we measured them half a day out at 12 hours post-exercise and then almost a full day out at 21 hours. So that was sort of the approach we took. The idea, the practicality of this being, well, if with resistance training, typically you're not going to burn nearly as many calories as if you went running or something.
Right.
But if, you know, the epoch after a moderate intensity run may last 30 minutes, 45 minutes. But after an intense, relatively high intensity resistance training session may last 24 hours or even 48 hours. So although you're not burning as many calories during the session, maybe the total energy expenditure will be much higher. And so that's why epoch is important from a practicality perspective. Now there's two camps of thought. Some think that it's really not that practically important. We're just not talking about enough calories. So I can show you statistical significance and say epoch is higher after, let's say, resistance training, but it's the equivalent of 5 potato chips. You know, who cares? And then there are others who think the caloric amount is practically important. So that is currently sort of a controversial issue of whether there is any practicality to this, or it's simply just a question we basic scientists want to answer for ourselves.
But, okay, so I get it. If you're only burning the equivalent of 5 potato chips a day, that will add up, because if you eat 5 potato chips a day extra above and beyond what you normally eat over the course of a year, you could end up with, you know, a few pounds of body weight increase. So it does make sense.
Theoretically, yes. But that assumes a non-dynamic metabolism. And we know metabolism is dynamic enough and has enough day-to-day variation where the thought process of the strictest view of calories in, calories out would suggest that, yeah, that potato chip extra a day, or 5 potato chips extra a day will make a difference at the end of the year. But we know it's probably not going to happen that way because our metabolism is dynamic enough to take into account small shifts in intake or expenditure. And normally this isn't a steadfast rule, but in terms of basic practicality, we typically say if we're not talking at least 50 calories, it's negligible.
If we're not talking about calories for the sake of body weight measurements, there are some who believe that epoch is important because it's evidence of a production of ATP, post-workout, resynthesis of muscle glycogen, also that epoch in conjunction with the high-protein meal is what stimulates the protein synthetic response to a greater degree than if you just have a high-protein meal any other time of day. What are your thoughts on EPOC's importance there? You think that's just not really important?
Well, no, it's a little bit of a cause and effect kind of thing. So the EPOC isn't what's driving the protein remodeling, which is a costly process. The EPOC is more of evidence of that remodeling. Protein synthesis, and whether we're talking about protein synthesis in the terms of upregulating aerobic capacities or aerobically sort of oriented enzymes, or if we're talking about in a resistance training context, if we're talking about, you know, muscle damage and the repair of that damage, well, that's a very costly, in terms of energy, that's a very costly process.
Right.
So the EPOC, in a sense, is more evidence of those processes going on as opposed to the driver of those processes, if that made any sense.
Okay, so let me ask you one last stupid question, and then we'll talk about your research. So after
there hasn't been a stupid question yet. So
okay, all right. Well, after an extremely heavy bout of weightlifting,
sure,
I sweat for probably 3 or 4 hours. In fact, the running joke here at the studio is I come in, people think I'm naked because I have to take my shirt off because I'm I literally get soaking wet sitting here doing the show because I come right here after the gym. Is that evidence that EPOC is kicked up there during that period of time because I'm burning more calories? I've got more heat going on?
Put it this way, it would not stand the muster in a scientific experiment, but it's not the worst thought in the world because obviously you're sweating for a reason, and the reason you're sweating is to dissipate heat, right? Well, if you have some abnormal amount to dissipate heat, it would indicate that your body must be producing more heat, right? And since we're pretty inefficient and we lose far more energy as heat than we do really doing anything else, it's at least I can't call it reliable, but it's not the worst thought that it's evidence that you're still burning more energy because your muscle temperature is elevated. It's certainly decent anecdotal evidence that you're probably burning a significant amount more calories in those sort of post-workout hours.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the study. How was the study designed?
So what we did is we took, and this part is very crucial, that we took fairly untrained. These were not highly fit individuals, and that will make a pretty big difference in the EPOC response, which is why some of these articles get misinterpreted, or at least their importance gets over-exaggerated, because we're talking about fairly untrained people, and it will make a difference. If I forget to bring it back to that, please remind me with the trained people. And so we basically just set them up with isocaloric bouts, so they're going to burn the exact same amount of calories in these quote-unquote workouts. And then we had them come back to the lab at 12 hours and 21 hours, both AM and PM measurements. Your resting metabolic rate has circadian rhythm to it, so you always want to compare it to what happened at time of day, not just a single baseline.
Okay.
And then we just basically looked and said, hey, are these people burning more energy after any given workout as compared to the other workouts? And basically it's what we found is that after the high intensity, we didn't call it high intensity interval training because that has a lot of
marketing
asterisks
hype
to it, but we just called it intermittent, but it's really, you know, high intensity stuff. After that and after resistance training, we saw that basically a day out, people are still burning more energy than they would have if they just sat on the couch all day. And they're also burning more energy that far out than they did with the steady state aerobic. So in that sense, it goes in line with what a lot of these studies have been showing recently, that, you know, the sort of higher intensity interval stuff on the aerobic front is probably a little bit better, at least as far as EPOC is concerned. And the resistance training thing we've known, because there is that sort of, it's not that the muscle damage equals muscle growth, but the damage at the very least will invoke a repair response, and that is very costly. So it wasn't a surprise in that sense that that's what we saw, that those modes of exercise are a little bit better at causing you to burn more energy after exercise.
Were the amounts of energy being burned significant, or were they the five potato chip analogy?
If I want to quantify it, it was about 12 calories per hour a day out, which ends up being, if you do kind of the back of the napkin calculation, probably about 300 calories a day.
Yeah,
that's huge. That's 3 miles of walking or something, you know, equivalent, assuming you're a normal sized guy.
Right.
The only problem is that there is evidence. So we wrote in the same lab group for the most part. We wrote an article maybe 2 years ago, and we had really experienced lifters. And we had them lifting very high volume loads, 10,000 kilogram and 20,000 kilogram loads. And what we saw in those highly trained lifters is that the EPOC response was almost nothing. So despite a very high volume and relatively high intensity workout, their EPOC was so low that it basically looked like they had done nothing. So it is very possible that since a lot of these studies are done in untrained people, it looks like EPOC is super important, super practically important. I mean, 300 calories is huge. But as people become more well-trained, it seems to become less important. Now, that's never been shown on the high-intensity interval front. No one's ever studied it. But based on all the other research, that may be what's happening, that the more trained someone is, the less this is going to have an impact, which is unfortunate for those of us that train consistently. But it's important to at least put this study in context.
If that is the truth, then the next thing that needs to be looked at is cycles of rest and training. In other words, more periodized. If you train for 3 or 4 weeks in a row and then you take off for a week, you kind of reset where your EPOC is going to respond better after a heavy set. You know what I'm saying?
Certainly looking at ways into adapt your own training as to become less used to this, to the EPOC response, that's certainly a strategy to take. The other avenue, and it kind of depends on what people are after, if they're after weight loss or fat loss, but let's just say strictly in terms of weight loss, the thing that always gets, thrown out here is, well, okay, let's just take this study and say that this means everything. Okay, I'm going to do high-intensity interval training and resistance training. That's all I'm going to do. But some studies, and pretty much the only studies done on the matter, consistently show those are going to increase your appetite more than steady-state aerobic. So if I'm looking to lose weight, hell, this could be totally counterproductive to what I'm trying to do. So unfortunately, there are so many different angles to keep studying this to try to get a practical response out of it. But there's, a lot of pieces missing. Your point is a great one.
Yeah, and the body repartitioning thing never comes into the discussion because all people want to do is lose weight. And there are people with terminal illnesses that are losing weight very quickly. You wouldn't trade places with them for a second. So this whole notion about weight loss frustrates me because weight loss doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not all the same. I mean, it's...
And the evidence is very clear that increased in any kind of physical activity has far better health outcomes than weight loss per se.
Yes. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
The secret word is epigenetic. Email that in to onair@superhumanradio.com to be entered for this week's secret word contest. And good luck.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Everyone knows the importance of
of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
You drink coffee, but do you know what's in your coffee? Pesticides, herbicides, unhealthy molds and bacteria. That's unless you drink Nutra Cafe. Nutra Cafe is small batch, certified organic Arabica whole bean gourmet coffee that's infused with an immune-supporting medicinal mushroom blend. Nutra Cafe tastes amazing because it's low acid and it doesn't cost any more to drink the world's best coffee. Roasted fresh every week in small batches. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Nutra Cafe banner ad to learn more. There's only one Nutra Cafe organic medicinal coffee in the world. Why would you drink anything else?
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Bo Greer. We're talking about post-exercise oxygen consumption, as you heard a moment ago, is indicative of your burning calories for a longer period of time. So was there anything that really surprised you? It sounds to me like this study was designed to more validate some existing beliefs and put an end to the questions. Was there anything really surprising about the results?
Frankly, not particularly. I mean, what we hypothesized would happen happened. I think the only surprise is we expected the more high-intensity interval training to elevate EPOC for about 12 hours, but we didn't expect to see it a day out. And unless I've missed something in the literature, I think we're one of the only study, or maybe one of two, that have shown that it actually lasts for that long. It hasn't been looked at to a large extent, but that was certainly surprising that a day out you could still see sort of the metabolic effect of this, what effectively was aerobic training, just not steady state aerobic training, which was pretty surprising to us. Everything else kind of fell in line with what we figured. And again, our only concern with the publication of this data was, again, that people are going to take a little too much of the attention on the EPOC part, because what we've created here is a bit of a false, it's not a dichotomy, I guess, I don't know if trichotomy is a word, but a false trichotomy, because in the real world, people probably aren't going to burn the exact same amount of calories lifting weights as they are doing aerobic, even steady-state aerobic work. So we don't want people to take the results and say, oh, well, we should just do, you know, the high-intensity stuff or resist training, that's it, because you can burn a hell of a lot of calories just doing steady-state aerobic work, and it's the calories you burn during exercise that are still probably most important. But it certainly adds another aspect of how to plan for your routine, or as you alluded to earlier, how to change up your routine from time to time.
Well, and clearly doing steady state, you know, cardio the day after a very intense lifting or high intensity cardio session is going to leverage the higher caloric utilization. So you don't have to kill yourself the second day. You almost kind of leveraging, it's almost like, you know, riding the wave, so to speak.
Yeah, and it's certainly, I mean, I think the, in general, as a kind of a resistance training guy myself, I think the steady state aerobic stuff has gotten too much of a bad rap where people, you know, you can make anything look bad. I can make resistance training look horrible for you, but when you look at the overall results, it's still something that most people want to be incorporating into their workouts in some way. And like you said, it's going to be a recovery day and bring a book to the gym and just cruise. So we don't want to discount the importance of it.
Well, there's other reasons not to discount it. I've had lots of strength and conditioning people on this show, and one in particular, Sabina Scala from the UK, who works with some of the top MMA fighters in the world. And she makes them regularly walk, you know, 3 miles an hour for 40 minutes. Because she talks about the importance of both eccentric and concentric development of the heart. And, you know, we always tend to look at things in this, this monophasic, well, if this is what I'm looking for, this is all that's important to me. And,
sure.
And you're not going to burn much calories at all if your heart doesn't work right. You don't have the energy to do the things that you need. And it's very important for that volumetric throughput of the heart where it's expanding very bigly, you know, like a bellows, as opposed to the tension, the Valsalva, and all the other things that go along with the high-intensity stuff.
Yeah, there's actually some evidence, too, that if you just resistance train, that's your only mode of exercise, you actually get some endothelial dysfunction. So your innermost layer of cells in your blood vessels start having a hard time dilating, which is in and of itself a very bad thing. But just a mild amount of cardiovascular exercise, a very mild, low-intensity amount of aerobic work actually negates that effect.
Yeah.
It's important for a variety of reasons. And I think your other point is good, too, that we tend to always view these issues as they're in silos. The same thing happens in the resistance training world. You know, people divide things up by body parts as if your hamstrings aren't working when you're doing a bent over row.
Yeah, right.
So we tend to get a little too siloed when we think about these things. So, yeah.
What do you hope the practitioners who train other people take away from this research?
I would hope, and it's the same with any research study. I hope they contextualize the results. Now, unfortunately, the lay press always makes this hard because they want to make every study seem like it's a conclusion or seem like it
right.
means more than it does, right? And, you know, when you get 5, 10, 15 studies showing the same thing, that's when you get a little, you know, closer to capital T truth. I hope they can bring it in context, and apply the results accordingly. And I think we make a point. There's sort of, in this particular journal, they ask you kind of for a practical applications portion. And we related some of it to practitioners should really focus in, as opposed to, I mean, I'm sure 99% of the people listening to your radio program don't have a problem with adherence, but the rest of the world does. So focus in on what has the most enjoyment for, say, your client first. That could be resistance training, that could be steady state, who knows. Hone in on that first. That's the most important thing, because if no one's going to adhere to it, you're obviously not going to get too far.
Yeah.
Beyond that part, the key is that the amount of calories you're burning during exercise is still paramount. But in the avenue that, let's just say, I mean, let's face it, some people just hate steady state aerobic work. They just get bored. So it does show at least that with the application of more higher intensity stuff that can really be built in even during the rest periods of resistance training, you can still burn a decent amount of calories, assuming you're a relatively untrained person.
I like to walk during my rest periods.
Yeah.
And I really do. As soon as I finish something, and I've also learned something. I'm 57 years old now. I'm a lot more cognizant of my heart function.
You're wiser. You're just wiser.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you know, I noticed that when I do when I'm squatting heavy, deadlifting heavy, doing any heavy movement, I'm fine while I'm doing it. It's when I stop that I feel like the heart starts to pick up. And even sometimes if I'm not in good conditioning, I'll get a little lightheaded. I find all that goes away if I stop and immediately start walking. I think allowing the heart to just go from that load to just kind of like neutral.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good idea.
Well, it's the, what you say makes sense from a basic science perspective because you do a set of deadlifts. It's completely anaerobic work, right? You still breathe because your brain needs oxygen, but your muscles require no oxygen whatsoever. But the recovery from that set is completely aerobic. And it's mainly due to the location of the creatine kinase enzyme. The enzyme, when it's used to sort of create anaerobic energy, that enzyme sits in the cytosol. But the creatine kinase enzyme that helps you resynthesize ATP and recover from that set is actually in the mitochondria, so it's an aerobic-driven process.
Mm-hmm.
So by you walking and slightly, you know, upgrading your aerobic expenditure, you're actually facilitating recovery in that sense. So it makes sense that you would feel better.
I am so smart.
I
thank you so much, Dr. Greer, for pointing that out to the audience. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about this fascinating stuff.
Hey, no problem.
Take care.
You too.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Stay tuned. I want to tell you about tomorrow's Physical Culture Radio. It's going to be a really, really good one for those of us out there who want to use exercise to help prevent or reverse aging. You're going to love it. Stay tuned. Back just to know you.
is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I'm a business owner. I'm in a high-stress situation. I'm also a CrossFit athlete. I'm constantly active. I need something that protects me for 24 hours and beyond. I've tried every natural deodorant out there. There is nothing that compares to this deodorant.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
For the best in real world, no nonsense, result producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
NASA. Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang.
Welcome back. We got a great episode tomorrow of Physical Culture Radio with Brooks Kubik. You're not going to want to miss this one, especially if the reason you train is like myself. I'm not a bodybuilder. I don't want to look like a bodybuilder. I'm really not a powerlifter, although I like to think of myself as a powerlifter type training style. But if your goal is to exercise for health and healthy aging, Brooks is going to deliver the exercises you should be doing for healthy aging and longevity. It's going to be a good one. Also, we're getting people who are emailing us the secret word. They're listening to the commercial breaks. Bravo. But it's not that many, so one of you has a really good chance of winning. Now, obviously, the podcast will get distributed later today. I have a feeling that the podcast crowd maybe doesn't pay attention to the commercials as well. So maybe that'll reward the live crowd here. Anyway, remember, the secret word will continue to play for the rest of this week through Tuesday of next week. And a winner will be selected on Wednesday to receive $200 worth of Quest nutrition products. Then the following week we'll find other gifts, and we're going to do this every single week. And why am I doing this? Because I want the sponsors to have a better experience. And the only way the sponsors have a great experience is if you guys pay attention to their commercials. Okay. I want to thank you for listening today. As always, stay superhuman. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.